I'm coming at you with fire today on episode 502 on the Flip Empire Show. My friends, you're about to listen to a very vulnerable interview with my friend Adam Adams, somebody who is very well known in our real estate investing community, somebody who, you know, has achieved a lot of success in the multifamily space as a syndicator, and who has a really, really big heart for serving, for helping, and for giving. He's spoken at different real estate conferences, hosted radio shows, podcast interviews, and it was actually even recognized by Meetup. The company was flown to Manhattan to speak to Meetup as one of the top Meetup guys in 2018. He's even been given the prestigious title of Master Investor by Think Realty Magazine, and just the accolades, and the list goes on and on. But what we're really going to be talking about, you know, and Adam even gets emotional and opens up about, as entrepreneurs, you know, we're so driven, we're so focused, we are so intentional about achieving success and about, you know, having that financial freedom, and we're very ambitious. You know, it takes a lot to build a company. It takes a lot to have a successful business, whether it's a business that you're looking to scale and have a bunch of team members, or whether it's a lifestyle business. And one of the things that Adam and I talk about on the show is how the story he built up in his head about how his kids were holding him back from making more money, from achieving success. And, you know, he really just kind of like peels back the layers of the onion as to the challenges and the adversity that he's faced, and how he was able to completely change his life around, you know, lose over 50 pounds, get in better shape, health, from a health perspective, have more energy, how he got present, how he was able to turn things around, have a different mindset, and how he's, that much closer to his kids and his family while having a successful business. It's interesting that as entrepreneurs, sometimes we think more is better. We think we have to put in more time, put in more hours. And he actually even shares how he scaled things back in 2020 and made more money and just had the best year of his life. And, we talk about how he found his giftedness and how he found his superpower and how he's leaning into that more and more. So a lot we talk about here. Adam is somebody who I'm currently working with now, and I believe you're going to get a lot out of this podcast episode. So having said that, let's dive right in.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Adam, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the Flip Empire show, brother.
I'm honored to be here. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, as am I. You know, I'm fortunate that I get to host this show and connect with awesome people. I have been hearing your name for the better part of a year and a half, 2 years now. I'm like, who's this Adam Adams guy, this AAA dude that's like crushing it in the multifamily space and has this successful podcast and has his hand in all these different companies? And we have a lot of mutual friends, Sean McCloskey being one of them. And I kept hearing just positive things about you. And I'm like, I got to have this guy on the podcast. Lo and behold, a couple months ago, you and I started working together, you know, and now you and your company is the marketing engine behind the Flip Empire show. So I've gotten to know you a lot better over the last couple of months, and I'm honored to have you on the show.
And I've learned a lot from you. I respect it, because one of the things that you were saying, you were like, hey, if we were in a mastermind together, this is what I would fix. And I'm like, dude, I love this guy. I mean, seriously, just putting me in my place. Left and right. I love it.
I appreciate, well, you and I are both straight shooters, and I think, you know, we appreciate that about each other. So for people that maybe haven't heard about you, Adam, I'd love for you to kind of, in a minute or two, we don't have to go into a long like backstory, but I think it's important that people understand the context of where you come from, what your businesses look like today, because I think that's really going to set up the conversation we're about to have. And I think it's going to be very eye-opening for people listening.
Perfect. I was going to school for music education, but I did a real estate deal that made me more money than I had ever made in a whole year. And so I finished, I graduated, but I never used that degree. I mean, I used my education. I learned a lot of cool tactics to help educate others, but I decided at the time, hey, I'm not going to focus on this. I'm not going to worry about this. This real estate thing has something to it. I'm dyslexic. So I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad right after that, learned that Robert Kiyosaki was focused on building a business and then putting his money into multifamily. A lot of people think that he did single family, or supposed that he might have done single family, but he skipped it. And I learned that in 2007 after selling my first deal, and I decided to get into multifamily.
Okay. So
that's where I focused. I was doing a handyman company and I was doing apartments, and I felt the crash in 2008, 9, 10, and 11 for sure. And when it comes down to it, when I moved to a new city, I started a meetup group and a podcast because I knew that I needed to grow my network. And if I can do a brag about the meetup group, I end up speaking at meetup headquarters about what I did with my meetup. And I was recognized as one of the top six organizers in the world. I like 225,000 different meetups in many countries. And it was just so cool to be in Manhattan for the first time, and went up to the sixth floor at meetup and talked to the engineers there. It's meetup and it's podcasting that I've been passionate about. And I ended up selling my first podcast in last year, actually. I sold the podcast and focused on just helping some people grow their podcasts. And yep. So I'm literally launching the podcast on podcasting. So that's the 2 minute version.
Incredible. And you know, what's interesting, as you started getting into your story, Adam, like I can tell the excitement and the shift in your voice when you started talking about the meetup group and the podcast, and not so much the multifamily. Is am I right in saying that the podcasting and the meetup group and just you leading and you communicating, you helping others, is that what really fuels you? And the multifamily is more to kind of fund the lifestyle and everything else?
I would have to say that my passion is helping other people do what I don't think others can help them do. And there was a long period of time where the multifamily was the big thing that I was excited about. And I don't know how best to say it, but there's a lot of people teaching multifamily these days, and I am just in the middle. We've only closed a few apartment communities, and so it's nowhere close to some of the people that have closed a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like I have more to offer somebody who's starting a podcast, for example. Yeah. So I still love multifamily. And actually, I had a lot of real estate in 2016, 17, 18. But in 2019, at the end, right before the crash, which was, I don't know, I didn't have a crystal ball, but I sold all of my small stuff. Some of it wasn't making money. Some of it was making money. All in all, I was technically out of the rat race, which is kind of cool. But after selling all of those, and then we stopped doing distributions for our apartment communities during COVID, mm-hmm. I wasn't out of the rat race anymore. And I was embarrassed, and it sucked, but I was like, crap, how am I going to start paying for stuff? So what I ended up doing is focusing on a new business. So at the time it was the podcasting, and I had helped like six different people launch a podcast. And Sean McCloskey, you mentioned him, he knew about that. And so he's always telling people about what I can do. So anyway, I actually had to pivot. I needed to figure out, okay, well, if we're not going to do distributions, I can't take any distributions out without giving it to every passive investor. So I was like, I'm not out of the rat race anymore. It felt uncomfortable. And so I started really pushing in 2020 on how am I going to serve the right person and be able to figure this out. So it took a long time. We've been trying to track the algorithms for podcasting and everything like that, but we've gotten it so that so far all of our clients are ranking. They're on the top charts. They're getting way more downloads, listeners, and we're doing private message campaigns that help get more ratings and reviews as well. And so I'm passionate about it because I guess because I haven't seen anybody else do what we do. Yeah. And it makes me excited to be able to provide something new.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely providing something new. I mean, obviously you know this, but for those listening who maybe have just recently discovered the show, You know, I've been podcasting now for almost 5 years, and in a short amount of time, I've picked up a lot of things from you, and I'm leaning on you and your team to help improve the show so that we can inject and provide more value. You and I think have the same heart. We want to help people at the end of the day, and we have discovered this incredible platform called podcasting to be able to just use our voice to help people. And so I think that's an incredible thing, but I wanted to kind of take a few steps back. Meetup, the organization, flew you to Manhattan and had you speak, recognized you as one of the top meetups. So obviously you are an effective communicator. You're an impactful leader. You sold a podcast, which I don't personally know anybody else who has sold a podcast. So what does this all boil down to? Do you just have a gift and a talent to communicate effectively? Like, how did you discover?
I definitely don't think I'm the best communicator. I don't think I'm the best communicator. I think it's two things. I think I have a really big heart. I love people so much that I like pull them into my world and give them everything that I got. And I develop strong relationships. Mm-hmm. And so that's a part of it. I think that's what one of the things that helped me with Meetup. But then I've got this other weird thing, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it because I know how many listeners you have on your show. We help you with your show, and I've seen it. And you have a lot of people listening right now. And so if I wish it was only five, you know.
Can't bring it.
I wish it was only five, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
It's hard to say it. It's hard to get it out. But I'm a little bit on the autism spectrum, and all that means, and I hope to empower somebody else who's listening. Maybe that's the reason why I'm saying something I don't usually say. But I'm on this autism spectrum, and all it really means is I think a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. And I figure out patterns quickly. And it was interesting when I was in, everybody always thought that I was a dumb kid. Like when I was in junior high and elementary, they're like, what a dummy. He's not going to amount to anything. But there was something weird because even though I couldn't spell, when I took the math test in sixth grade, because of this autism thing, somehow I was able to like do geometry and some other math that we had never learned, but it just made so much sense automatically to me. Mm-hmm. So figuring out like patterns and recognizing them and trying to understand and identify algorithms behind the thing, I've somehow have this ability to do that. And so I did it with Meetup. I did it with a lot with social media, and I've been doing it now with podcasting. And all it is really is kind of like simplifying. Anyway, that's really what I did with the Meetup. That's what I've done on social media. A lot of people come to me for social media advice as well. And I just simplify it. Oh, this is all you have to do because of this and this and this. I give them the reasons. They're like, holy cow, that's like something new. But I just pay attention to something, the opposite things than you pay attention to, or than most people that don't have autism would pay attention to. So that's my superpower, is identifying these, understanding what's happening behind the scenes. When I look at a wall, I see like all the components behind the wall. And other people, what they're like, when you see this, what do you see? And my brain just somehow, it tries to pull the whole thing apart and understand the ins and outs of it, the intricacies, like the unique pieces, mm-hmm. the moving parts. And so it's always been like that. That's what I did with podcasting. I try to figure out where to put the money that makes the biggest amount of results, and how to send the private messaging campaigns that gets actually people to subscribe, rate, and review. And it's a game to me. It's like, yeah. Literally last night I played chess with both of my sons. Like, I want them to think this way too. I want them to be seeing ahead of the game, trying to figure out the strategy behind it. Cause that's the fun part for me.
Right. Right. And you know, you bring up chess, one of my favorite games to play. I don't know if you ever saw The Queen's Gambit on Netflix, but you kind of remind me a little bit of her. Not that you're a chess prodigy, but that like you see several steps ahead. And like you said, I think the analogy of the wall and the components behind the wall, I see a wall. You see so much more. It's like it's the wall's transparent to you. And I really appreciate your transparency and talking about, you know, the autism aspect of it, because I truly believe, Adam, that when you feel like you might be deficient, and I use that word in quotes, in one area, I feel like God amplifies you. My personal belief, I feel like you're amplified and given superpowers and talents in other areas. The challenge for a lot of people, and I don't know if you would agree with this, is that they don't take the time to discover and figure out what their superpower is. You clearly have. Was there something intentional that you did to really lean in on what your talents and gifts were, or was it something that just came natural and you knew what it was?
Well, I think it comes from a few different things. I grew up in, once I got into the band and started learning how to play music, I was like, hey, at the end of the year, we're going to write a symphony, and I'm going to write one and we can play it. I told my junior high band director, and he laughed at me. So part of the talent is I was the runt in, I was smaller than everybody, and I just thought differently. And so people would look at me a little bit different. And so I always felt like I had to prove myself in a way. That's part of it. That's part of like the core of, I think, where, what got me here. The second thing is in junior high, when this band director told me that, I was like, he goes, you'd have to learn every instrument. I was like, I'll just do that. Like, how hard can it be? So I learned all the instruments. I wrote a symphony and we played it that year, and it was freaking awesome. I felt so good. And I was like, that's what you get, band director who told me I couldn't. Now, that's kind of like that's a big piece to where most of this kind of comes from, is me still feeling like in the back when I was small, young, and feeling like I need to amount to something. I need to prove myself. And I know that's good and bad. So I totally understand that, but that's really where a lot of this comes from. I'm trying to remember the second part of your question. I missed it though.
Yeah, no, I think you answered it very directly. You know, so I read biographies every now and then of successful people, and I like to study. You know, I truly believe success leaves clues. And many successful people, one of the common denominators, I mean, there's several, but one of them is this chip on their shoulder. The fact that, you know, it's the you know, Michael Jordan's high school coach cutting him from the team and him wanting to prove it to him. And I feel like you have a little bit of that. And it's important that we figure out how to leverage what fuels us. And you clearly have. So I want to kind of transition, Adam, to a topic that maybe isn't covered on a lot of real estate or business podcast, but an area that I'm really passionate about. And I think, I don't know your story, but I may have an idea. One of the things that can connect us, you know, those listening to you and I, is that we're entrepreneurs. Anybody listens to this show, it's, they're an entrepreneur. They want to be an entrepreneur. They want a better life. They want freedom. They want time. You know what it's like to sacrifice, and the blood, sweat, and the tears, and the financial sacrifice, everything else that goes into being an entrepreneur. And I want to kind of lead you into how the other areas of your life were affected by the fact that you were so focused and driven on building a successful business. What happened in the pursuit of that?
Yeah, I think I know what you're leading to. And here goes vulnerability. And I hope I don't cry, because I'm a very emotional person generally.
As am I, by the way. So there might be a lot of tears in the podcast.
Yeah. So. It's kind of interesting. I was trying to build my business and I started making some money, and I put that into more coaching and more consulting and masterminds. And I joined more masterminds than, you know, I think I spent $200,000 on just masterminds one year, just because I joined all sorts of them just to try to grow myself. And that was important to me, and growing my business. And, you know, you mentioned something. There is always a lot of nuances to being an entrepreneur. There is ups, there is downs, there are big swings. Sometimes there's a lull, and sometimes it's feast or famine, where you're like, oh my gosh, now I've got so many clients, I've got so much work to do, that you're working 21 hours. What it looked like in, I think it was 2018 in December, I had slowly gained many pounds. I was 220 pounds, and I was working probably 12-ish hours a day, which is, you know, less than I'm working this week. But still, I was probably working 12-ish hours a day, and this is what would happen. I would come home. And by the way, I bought these 30 packs of beer. That was, I would buy them in 30 packs of Coors, Coors Original. And I would sit down on the couch after a long, hard day and literally drink six beers every night. The kids would come up to me. They would be like, "Hey, play with me." And I'm like, "I can't play with you. I'm too tired. I'm too worn out. And I just need to zone out. I just need, you know, to calm down after a long day." Mm-hmm. And I went to a mastermind. I was in several at the time, but I paid to be with Rod Cleef in his mastermind. And I remember getting up in December of 18 in front of everybody, and like my business was doing really well, and I didn't know what to talk about. Came out of nowhere, I finally got up and I just said, I don't want to talk about my business. I'm actually going to cry. Shoot. I don't want to talk about my business. I just want to talk about my kids. Like, I'm not there for my kids. I'm gaining all this weight. I haven't exercised in however long. All I want to do, because I'm working so many hours, is just zone out. And I feel like I'm a bad dad, and I feel like I'm a bad example. And anyway, a lot of people resonated with me at the time. So over the course of a couple of days in, I think it was Palm Beach, Florida, not too far from you, I had a whole bunch of people coming up to me and just giving me all sorts of examples, making challenges. And I just tried to do a few of those challenges. And one of the biggest ones that I did was gratitude. And it was interesting because I was resenting my kids. I was saying to myself, I had this story that I didn't realize until that day. Uh-huh. I had this story of my kids are holding me back. Like, if I didn't have kids, then I would be able to work even more hours a week. I'd be able to make even more money. I'd be even more successful. And I just remember noticing that bad pattern of me telling myself a story that was not true and resenting them for not being more. And what I started doing instead was I started every single morning, with exception, almost every single morning and almost every single night, I would just focus on how grateful I was to have the children. I actually was told that I couldn't have them. And then all of a sudden I got two kids and I was like, hell yeah. And so here I am just like, this is a blessing. And this changed my life. It's what I've always wanted. Why would I feel that way? They're awesome. And they're such amazing kids. And even though I wasn't treating them well and giving them the attention that they deserved, at the end of the day, I was ignoring them and telling them to leave me alone so I could just, you know, get in my zone. They were amazing. They taught me unconditional love. And so anyway, I just started practicing that one thing, and I decided I've got to get back to the CrossFit gym. And I just said, hey, I've got to make some changes. And so I tried really hard not to buy those 30 packs of beer, drinking five to six every single night. And just I read this book while I was shoveling snow later, because I started listening to books. It was The One Thing by Gary Keller. Yeah. And he talked about this idea of there's no balance. And I'm just shoveling snow, breaking my back, because it snowed like 2 feet that day, almost 2 feet. And I was thinking to myself, man, so Gary Keller is trying to tell me that I need to be all in when I'm with my sweetheart, all in when I'm with my kids, all in when I'm at work. And so I just started, hey, I'm not going to be on my phone when I'm in front of the kids. I'm just going to put that away. And so I just started using little things from the book Compound Effect, little things from the One Thing, and trying to be a more present dad and a more grateful dad. And what's interesting is in 2019, my income increased by almost $600,000 from the year before, where I was already doing okay. I was already out of the rat race. I was already working hard. I worked less hard. I exercised more. I drank less. I played with my kids more. And I made an extra $600,000 on top of the year before, which is kind of freaking awesome. So.
That's it. Man, there's so much to unpack there, Adam. And number one, I want to acknowledge you, obviously publicly, for just having so much courage, man, to share your story, because you're not alone. And maybe people's stories are a little bit different, but I think if we're being honest, most parents can relate to not being fully present with their children. I know I can relate. I have a story, you know, up about a year and a half ago that I actually shared at a mastermind as well, that it hit me like in the gut. I was playing with my daughter, and then this is not about me. I want to circle this back to you, but I think it's going to highlight and illustrate that as parents, sometimes we struggle with these things. I was playing with my daughter, and I was there in body, but I wasn't there in mind, right? And I know that you can relate to this. And I remember strategically throwing, we were playing catch, and I remember strategically throwing a ball across the house so that I would have enough time to check my phone, check the Podio message. Although I didn't need to, it wasn't important. I still felt this, I hate to use the word addiction, but almost like a pull towards it, like a magnet, like I have to check this. And so I strategically threw the ball so that I had about 30 seconds to check the phone, and it wasn't enough time. And when she got back to me, I was so locked in on reading my phone until I looked up at her, and she's like, "Daddy, daddy, why won't you get my like," she said something along the lines of like, "Why won't you pay attention?" Or she didn't use the word attention, but basically like, "Why aren't you like with me?" kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I forget the words, but I'll never forget the moment. And at that moment, I'm like, things need to change. And so I implemented things where I would, you know, have a buffer between the office and home. I would leave my phone in the other. And sometimes I still struggle with it, if I'm being honest. But I think the difference is you and I are very aware and conscious of it. What really impacted me is somebody told me, what's this? You know, you talk about telling yourself a story about how your kids were holding you back. Someone told me, "Alex, what's the story Ariana is telling herself about why you won't pay attention to her?" And right when I heard that, it shifted. I'm like, wow, like we could be screwing up our kids by doing little things we don't even realize now that could affect them down the road. And that was the catalyst for change for me. So I really appreciate you being open about that. You know, the fact that you were drinking every night and you just wanted to kind of zone out. And it seems like you changed your life, like a complete 180 turn in a pretty short amount of time from what it sounds like.
Still struggle with things even today. One thing that I'm fairly good at is being introspective and just taking that time to really try to look inside and try to answer questions as an outsider would, which is hard because to judge yourself that way. But yeah, just try to think, what's going on? How do you fix it? I will say, I made immediate changes after that mastermind in our December of 2018, made immediate changes in my life, but I've been slowly, like with a compound effect, for example, I've been slowly just adding a little bit more, trying to focus with them a little bit more. So yeah, we've been saved, you know, COVID era, there's a little bit of challenges, but other than that, since that day in all of 2019, we made sure that we spent time every single Saturday together. Uh-huh. We didn't play anything. And I tried to, when I got home, make little changes, go to CrossFit gym, and I bought a mountain bike. I was when COVID came, and I was like, what am I going to do? You can't go to a gym. So I bought a mountain bike. Did not realize how expensive mountain bikes are, by the way, until I bought. Yeah. It's insane. So I bought a cheap one, and then I had to upgrade it to a mediocre one, and that's still several thousand. But anyway, bought a mountain bike, started in enjoying that sport and getting outside and getting sun. And all of these little changes over time, just they compound on each other to make you happier, healthier. I've lost 51 pounds. Wow, went from 202 to 169, which is freaking awesome. Like I'm lighter than I was in high school now, but, yeah, it's crazy. Just little changes, and try to drink once a week. It might happen a second time, but you know, just on date nights. And, so it's a lot of little changes, and all of them seem to, the exercise makes you happier, makes you more likely to pay attention to your kids, which makes you feel more good about yourself, which makes you want to do it more. It's like a vicious cycle of goodness.
Yeah. And that vicious cycle can, that's a knife that cuts both ways, right? Because it could be a vicious cycle downward, or it could be a, you know, positive momentum, which is the path that you're on right now. And I believe that's going to be inspiring to a lot of people. For somebody listening to this, Adam, or for several people listening to this that can relate to your story that are kind of there, they feel like something's off at home. They're not being fully present. They know they're not giving the time, energy, and attention they need to be a better father, husband, mother, you know, wife, whatever the case might be. Are there any practical steps or any advice that you would share now looking back through your journey? Anything that you could share with people to kind of help them kind of make the change that you made?
Yeah, there is a book, Hal Elrod. I recently met him when we were speaking at a conference, but he's got these things called Savers. Mm-hmm. You probably know about him.
I got it right here, actually. So actually, I saw the movie about a month ago, and then I got the book and the whole thing.
Nice. Nice. We had dinner together, and he's just a fascinating human. Like, he is just such an incredible guy. But anyway, I subscribe to a few of the Savers. Now, my sweetheart's reading Miracle Morning right now, and I go, "That's my friend. I've been telling you about this guy." She's like, "That's your friend?" Anyway, so anyway, she's finally reading the book. I've been telling her for a long time, but the Savers, there's a few that I subscribe to. So he talks about meditation, mm-hmm. Or prayer in there. I don't remember which Saver it was, but it was like the silence, I think. For me, I subscribe to that one, and I just call it gratitude. I'm not a big prayer, and I'm not a big, like, I just cannot figure out how to meditate. Like, it's just not something that is working for me so far. But spending time to express gratitude to the universe for the things that you have or want to have, that's one absolutely actionable step. The other Saver in there is exercise, mm-hmm. that I think is critically important. So spending time to just move. And it can be as easy as literally just jumping up and down for 1 minute. There's a lot of health benefits from just hopping for a minute. So if you're only going to change three things, I would say express gratitude daily, or pray, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Second one, exercise daily, even if it's for 60 seconds and all you're doing is just jumping up and down. And then the third one that I would suggest is to go back to a book that I was reading when I was shoveling that snow, One Thing by Gary Keller. Mm-hmm. The one thing, when he's talking about when you're with your kids, be all the way fully present, and how much better it is to even give them 15 minutes of 100% of attention than to just be in the same room with them, ignoring them for 6 hours straight and being like, "Oh yeah, we hung out the whole," like, that's a lie. Just, you spend the time to go all in with your kids, even if it's for a short amount of time. I think that'll dive deep into their soul. Your sweetheart, give her the time of him or her or them. I don't know who's listening or what their preferences are.
I get you. No judgment.
Them. Anyway, I would just say, focus on this concept of not trying to spread your time out, but trying to go all in while you're at work, go all in while you're with your kids. I think those are the three things that I think can really start to make the biggest impact in your life.
Yeah, that
or that's, they did for me.
That's such great advice. I'm curious, when you talk about gratitude, I've heard of the gratitude journal, you know, where you take a little piece of paper and you write something you're grateful for, you put it in a jar at the end of the year, you go back and read everything you've been grateful for throughout the year. How do you express gratitude? Is it through journaling? Is it through, you know, posting something on social media? I'm just kind of curious how you've chosen to express gratitude.
I express gratitude like somebody who's praying. I might not be talking to God directly, but I'm talking to whatever that higher power, whatever the universe is. I'm not as religious as some of the listeners, I'm sure, but it's basically just like I close my eyes and I start to feel it and think about, put my attention onto one thing. And I'm like, that it's so awesome that that, you know, I've got this car that gets me wherever I want to go, that, you know, not everybody has a car and it might not be paid off yet, but I've got it and it's there and it works and it's new and it's nice and it's clean and it can fit all six of us, me and my two kids, my sweetheart and her two kids. And I literally just, what a great Honda. You know, what a great Honda. It might not be a Ferrari, but I express gratitude for the things that I have. And I think about my kids and I think about my sweetheart and how, like, over the last over 4 years that we've been together, there's been ups, there's been downs. She just loves me for me. And it's like, isn't that amazing that I have somebody in my life that is who she is and can let me be myself and let me feel like that I can speak. And I just keep going through just different things out there. And one hack is two hacks. One is sometimes you have to express gratitude for something you don't have yet. Like you need to. So one idea with our podcasting company, the residual income helps everybody in my team, helps me make sure that I'm putting food on the table for all 10. I have 10 people working in that company and I need to provide food for all 10 of them. And I start expressing gratitude because we have this goal and I told them all that I'll give them a bonus if we hit it. Like we have all these marks, right? And so I actually start expressing gratitude that we hit the 30 clients in the quarter. And I see myself writing $1,000 checks to all 10 of them. And just like, they're, most of them are in the Philippines, and that's a significant amount of money. And I'm just like writing that check in my mind, being, I'm so glad that I could support them, that we could do this together, that we achieve this together. So sometimes it's expressing that gratitude, even for something that you don't actually have yet, but trying to feel what it feels like to have it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I would say is we get knocked down as entrepreneurs. And this is a huge takeaway for the listener. We get knocked down every single day. Like we fall short every single day. We make mistakes every single day. We miss opportunities every single day. All sorts of stuff will happen. I lost $500,000. My company lost $500,000 at the beginning of 2020. Wow. And so that was a huge thing. And it's like, you got to start expressing gratitude in the time where you're the most stressed out.
So true.
So
true. And man, that is so powerful what you just shared, Adam, that there's a couple things I'd love to piggyback on that I think can really help those listening. I think it's also important to express gratitude. You talk about expressing gratitude for what you do have. You talked about the hack about expressing gratitude for the things that you want that maybe you don't have yet. And I love that. I also think it's important to express gratitude for the little things that we just take for granted. I've been to Guatemala 2 years in a row now on a missions trip. And every time I go, I come back with different perspective and things that they don't have that we take for granted here in the States. You know, even if it's something like, you know, going outside, getting some sunshine and the fresh air we breathe, where a part of town that we were in, they don't really have fresh air. You know what I mean? Like things like that, I think it's important to express gratitude. And one thing I want to share with people, for those that end up watching the video, the 5-minute journal is something I really enjoy doing because obviously it only takes 5 minutes or less. But one of the things in here is, what am I grateful for? In fact, that's how it starts. And you write down three things that you're grateful for. And it helps you be more intentional and aware of everything that we have in our lives. And so many times I think we are focused on what we don't have or what we want that it takes away from our ability to express gratitude for what we do have. So it's interesting to me that of all the things that you kind of attribute have been the turnaround in your life, that gratitude, it starts with gratitude.
100%.
I really appreciate that, man. Really appreciate that. So I'm going to ask you a loaded question here, and then we're going to start to kind of wrap up the show. So a couple more questions for you. What does success mean to you?
To me, success is, there's a lot of definitions and it's hard to pinpoint on one. Giving back is a huge part of success. When you can fill other people's cups, getting emotional again, when you can fill other people's cups, that's where I really start attributing success. Other than that, like enjoying the journey is enough. You know, if you have a passion and a love for what you do, like I do with helping people with podcasts, and you enjoy it, and I work 21 and a half hours. So I was telling you, I worked a lot lately. We've onboarding a few extra clients, and you know, we've got that goal that I'm already expressing gratitude for ahead of time. But It's loving what you do and filling other people's cups are the two first things that come to mind.
Yeah. Tony Robbins always says, you know, the secret to living is giving. And I think you just summed that up right there. So last question for you before we get out of here. And I definitely want to let people know where they can connect with you. But before we go there, you know, you're a young guy. I think you and I are roughly in the same ballpark, you know, age-wise. Rewind the clock prior to, you know, you getting involved in real estate, prior to you having, you know, successful podcast, having sold a podcast, being recognized by Meetup, now having this successful podcasting company that's going to land 30 amazing clients this quarter or by next quarter, right? Of which I'm one of them, by the way. Rewind the clock 15, 20 years. What's one thing that you wish you knew then that you would like to share with those listening that can help them in their journey?
Something that want them, there's two. One main one is residual passive income. I know a lot of fix and flippers because we're both in the real estate space. I know a lot of fix and flippers that jump in and they might make even like $100,000 on a flipper or $300,000 on a flip. And I have a lot of these friends that are miserable because like the only way that they're going to make that next money is to do another flip, and they're managing contractors. And so one of the biggest things that I would recommend is residual passive income. So sure, do your flips, but get as much money passively as you can, like put it into a rental or a fourplex or whatever. Other thoughts, like in 2019, I mentioned I made an extra $600,000. I did most of that through consulting. So most of that was active income where I would sit down with somebody and help them with their social media or their Meetup or podcast. And at the end of 2019, I don't know if I can cuss, but I was screwed. Screwed when it came to 2020 because I had made all this income, but it was all active income. It was all, you know, taxed really high. And when we didn't do distributions anymore, I wasn't out of the rat race anymore. And I was embarrassed. I was like, oh, what am I going to do? And so with this podcasting business that I'm building right now, I'm really trying to make it more of a residual. And So we used to have, you know, big ticket prices, $27,500 to launch you. And now I've moved it to, hey, it's a monthly cost to launch you. Yeah. And I want streams of income versus just big piles of income, because there's a lot to be said for passive income. So if I could go back and I could like slap myself, I would have had to do it dozens of times, including 2019 when I made all that other money. But I would try to instill this thought of you want something to come in residual and passive. That's the way to get out of the rat race, not to flip a house for $300,000 or $30,000 or whatever you're going to make. Sometimes you lose $300,000.
Right.
But it's all about streams of income.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's such a, it's great and practical advice. So Adam, brother, appreciate you. Number one, opening up again, I want to acknowledge you for just being so vulnerable, so transparent. I know your story is going to impact and help a lot of people. So my philosophy and thought process behind this podcast is if we can just reach one person and help them change their life, man, this is so worth it. So thank you for just being opening up. And where do people connect with you? So if somebody is thinking about launching a podcast, maybe somebody has a podcast, or they just want, you know, advice, strategy when it comes to social media marketing, et cetera, where can people connect with you? And while you're speaking, I'm going to go ahead and throw it up on the screen here as well.
The best place is growyourshow.com. Trying to streamline and simplify, so I don't do a lot of Meetup consulting or social media consulting anymore. Okay. I really just want to focus on growyourshow.com, helping people launch, grow, and monetize a podcast.
That was a test because you brought up the book, The One Thing, several times, and I'm like, I'm going to throw it out there and see if Adam takes the bait and you passed the test, my friend.
Perfect.
Yeah.
One call to action.
There you go. So guys, check out growyourshow.com. You know, so we just crossed over the 500th episode. I'm extremely, you know, we talk about gratitude. I'm extremely grateful for you, the listener, because without you, I wouldn't have this platform and I wouldn't have anybody to have a desire to want to help. So thank you for taking the time. You know, your time is very valuable and it's the one commodity we can't get back. It's your most valuable asset. So thank you for lending it to me. Hopefully we have over-delivered for you. And having said that, you know, Adam and I have started working together over the course of the last several months, and I've picked up so much already. So if you have any desire to launch a podcast, or if you have one and you want to continue to grow it, I encourage you to connect with Adam, growyourshow.com. So my man, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Guys, I look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Until then, we will talk soon. Take care. One last thing before you go. If you have been listening to the show for a while and or you have been getting value from the show, I would be 100% honored if you would share this show with a friend, or maybe share it with somebody that you think could benefit from this. It's my mission, it's my cause, it's my purpose through Flip Empire to impact and touch people's lives and in their businesses. So it would be an honor if you would be willing to share this episode. And one last thing, make sure that you're subscribed so that you get notified every Monday and Thursday when shows get released. I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Until then, have a great day.